Welcome, everyone. This is Josh Fonger, and I'm here with Sam Carpenter. Today, we're going to be talking about getting the systems mindset. This is both for you, this is for your team, and this is how to take Sam's theory, his paradigm shift, talked about in the book Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less. It's about taking that mindset and infusing it into a practical way so that you reap the benefits, your team reaps the benefits, and it actually sticks. And that's what we're talking about today. And the, you know, the real reason why I decided, Sam, you know, you and I need to talk about this today is I just got a new client. And as I do with large companies, I try to talk to their management before I fly out there, figure out, you know, the lay of the land, figure out where the problems are. This one employee, he runs the databases, client management systems. They've got about 30 employees. And I started to explain the systems mindset to him. And he said, well, I think I get it, but it just doesn't seem very practical. And we're, you know, we're really busy here. And I just don't know if people are going to like it. And I'm, you know, trying to convince him, I mean, you will like it. And I eventually, you know, got him around to my position. But that is a, it's a real hurdle for business owners, both for them to get it and then their team to not only understand it, but to want to do it and to understand this is going to make their lives better. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Sam, I think the best starting point is for you, you know, you wrote the book on this, to explain to everybody, especially those who have not read your book, what is the systems mindset?
Well, thanks, Josh. Good to be with you again, by the way. And by the way, hey, Josh, the newly revised book is in the bookstores this week. Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less. Revised for 2017 and 2018. It's got a burgundy color, got a new picture of our management staff on the back jacket flap, and I've made hundreds and hundreds, probably 800 little tweaks in it. I'm very proud of it, and that's out there now. Okay, systems mindset. So it's let's go a layer deeper to how things work. What it is the ability to be able to see that your life is a collection of systems. And it's not some kind of a, you know, ploy or P-L-O-Y, ploy or some kind of special strategy. It's the way the world is. And if we all agree that things happen over time, you know, the day goes by, the years go by, everything happens over time, and everything around us develops from step one to step two to step three. For instance, this podcast, Josh, and I, we could talk about the podcast or skiing down from the top of a mountain or climbing a mountain or driving somewhere. But for this podcast, it's going to take, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes. What happens? We go step by step through the podcast, one, two, three, four, five. And at the end of 20 minutes, we're done. And that's how your world works. Your TV in your living room was the product of a process of going into a store and buying a TV and having it delivered. You're doing your wash, it's the same thing. You put the wash in the washing machine, you put the soap in, it takes X amount of time to go through the process. You have clean clothes. And then you put it in the dryer and another process starts. I don't care, it's everything. That's how the world works. Your marriage, your relationship with your friends. The systems mindset is simply paying attention to how reality works. And once you do that, with the systems mindset, and we'll talk about it today, I'm sure. You're running this podcast, but I know we'll go through it, Josh. Is that once you do that, every problem you have in your life can be traced back to a specific system, an isolated system. And when you can isolate your systems, you can tweak those systems to get rid of that problem so it never happens again. And that's what the systems mindset is, simply a reflection of how things work here on planet Earth. Oh, and one other thing, this phrase I have, outside and slightly elevated, you want to be outside of your business and looking down on it. You don't want to be in the middle of it. You want to be outside your situations and analyzing them in a mechanical way. And that comes naturally when you get the systems mindset. Now, people buy my book, they'll read the whole book, they say it sounds interesting, and then 2 weeks later they say, oh my gosh, I get it. Some people have it already when they read the book, not many. And other people, as they're reading in chapter 4, at the end, by the end of chapter four, oh my gosh, that really makes it. That's how my world. Let me look at my world. Oh yeah, when I got my dog, I went through this process of getting the dog, and then he grew up in front of my eyes, and it was a process. It was a system. It was a 1, 2, 3, 4 thing. But you can't get that until you get outside and what I call slightly elevated from your reality. It's an incredible way to go through life.
Now, on a side note, Sam, what I think is interesting, and also interesting with my best clients, the ones that really get this, and then they run 100 miles an hour the correct direction, is they have what you had, which is the gun to the head enlightenment. And there's a chapter in the book about that where literally you're going to lose the business unless you made a change. And then this revelation happened, and then you made the shift. And I've had clients where they're near bankruptcy, or they have been diagnosed with cancer, or they have just, you know, they've hit a wall in their business, and then all of a sudden they get it and their business shifts, and it's amazing. I don't know why that is, but it's something about being pushed to your limit and then being willing to step back, get outside the chaos of your world, look down, see the separate pieces, and then go to work. So I've seen
it. Well, let me interrupt you, Josh. A classic situation is a guy has a heart attack. He goes to the hospital, and he looks at his life. He looks at his marriage. He looks at his work. He has been forced to get outside and slightly elevated from his life and look back down on it. It forces him to get out of the middle of things and to look down, and that's outside and slightly elevated. And that's the genesis of the system's mindset for that individual. Mm-hmm. It's easier to do. You just buy my book. read the book, and you don't have to go through all that. But any kind of a life-threatening situation will inspire a person to look carefully at the mechanical processes that make up the life. And I'll just finish here with this, is that your life, Josh, my life, and all of our listeners' lives out there are collections of separate systems. And that's the way you see it, and that's the reality. And when you get that reality, you can start working your systems and getting what you want out of your life instead of fire-killing all day long.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, and I prefer to get the paradigm shift without the disaster first. That's the better way to go. And as you're talking, Sam, I'm thinking of an analogy that works for me when I try to explain to people, which is you're driving in a car. The car stops working, and then you think, well, I have a bad car. Well, if you had the system's mindset, you'd be thinking, I wonder which specific system in the car is the problem. And is it the wheels? Is it the engine? Is it an oil leak? You know, then you open up the engine, hood, and then you would outside and slightly elevated. You know, you are not the car. You're looking down at the pieces. And if you're a mechanic, you could do this. If you're me, you couldn't. But then you'd be able to diagnose this specific system that has the issue, and then you would tweak that, you'd fix that, and then your car would work again. And so people are, you know, they have these challenges in business. They think it's sales, or they think it's marketing, or they have a problem in their marriage. They think, well, my marriage is bad, or my product is bad, and they don't actually get far enough removed to see the separate pieces that make up the marriage, that make up the sales process, that make up an aspect of their business, and then isolate those separate systems and then go to work on them, which makes it actually practical. Now, there's a client I'm working with right now, and you know they're quite a large business, but they had a dysfunctional piece of the business, which is called proposal writing, and they actually fix power plants, and that's what they do. And very successful business, but they said, we have this problem, and it's the proposal writing. Proposals in their business range from $5,000 to $10 million, right? It's a big range. And to set up a proposal like that, it's complicated. And for them, they can never fix it, and it was because they never got outside of how they wrote them and saw the separate pieces. And we actually worked through it. There's 100 pieces, literally 100 pieces that go into writing a good proposal. a proposal that looks at all the variables, that is priced out properly, that has the right margins, includes the right tools, the right labor, has all the factors pieced into it, includes the right way to negotiate, includes the right way to follow up, includes the right way to get additional work afterwards. And there's 100 pieces. And they could never figure out, why did we get it wrong? Why have we never been able to perfect this? And it's because they didn't get the systems mindset. They just said, oh, this is proposal writing, instead of seeing the separate systems, the pieces, having this paradigm shift. And that's what they had. And now they're excited. I mean, now they're just fixing piece by piece by piece. And most pieces are not that bad. They're pretty good. It's just seeing them separately and then fixing them. All right, now, Sam, the next big phase, once you get it, is getting buy-in, right? So if you get it by yourself, that's useful, but so much better and so much more leverage happens when you have buy-in with your team. So how does that happen?
Yeah, and I'll just kind of segue out of what you just said here. You touched on it at the end. It's very important as far as the systems mindset is concerned, is that 99.9% of everything works perfectly. It's a very optimistic view of life. It's really true. Our bodies, for instance, incredible, incredible. I won't go into it here, but 99.9% of it's working just fine, even if you do have a stomach ache or a hangover. It's working great. And in your business, you talk to your staff. You say, look, this is the way we're making money. You guys are getting paid. We're making payroll. We've got some customers out here. 99.9% of this business is working great. But here's what we need to do. John, you have a way of handling this process, and Mary, you handle the same process in a different way. Let's get these processes nailed down so they're all done with your input. Let's sit around this table and come up with 1-2-3-4-step working procedure about how this process should operate. And I want all of your input. And so it's not a matter of the boss writing up a procedure and giving it to everybody and say, now do it this way. That will never work. And I always like to say the reason that works in the military top down is because you'll be shot if you don't. Well, anymore you won't be shot. But you've got to have subscription from your frontline staff. And so what I did here with Centratel so many years ago is I sat down and wrote up a procedure and gave it to my two managers, and I said, punch holes in it. Punch holes in it. They came back, and they had literally punched holes in it, and we sat around a table, and we came through with a 53-step for this process, for this problem we had, and we all contributed to it. And this is the key, and we call it bottom-up. It means that you've got to go to your front line, and they've got to help you put these procedures together. And if they don't know how to start, it's simply 1-2-3-4-5 like that. This happens, then that happens. Remember, everything happens over time. But it's okay for the leader to write up the first procedure and sit down with the people involved and have them punch holes in it. And I love this term, quote, punch holes in it, unquote, to let them know you really, really do need their advice. And I'm telling you, I don't care what your business is to our listeners out there. If you get your people contributing to creating these procedures, they will buy into them. And they will make sure the other people in the office buy into them too. But you've got to have that bottom-up strategy. It's the main way to get buy-in from your staff. Now, what will happen after a while, and this is kind of afterburner thing, is once the office starts getting smooth, more sales are made, there's more bottom line, everybody will get why that is, and it's because you've got structure. You've got the procedures, you've got direction, you've got all this, and then it's just, they'll never go back to the way it was before, but you've got to get over that first hurdle, which is your job so many times, Josh, when you go out and visit these people, in getting them to get going.
It definitely is. It's because they don't seem to think they have time for it, but they have time to continue doing what they're doing, even though it's not working. And I think what I try to do is eventually they see it, they're shown that it works, and that actually as an employee it will get better to work here. As an employee, I'll actually enjoy my work. I'll be able to get more work done. I'll get to not only have influence over my own realm, you know, what I do with my hands, but I'll actually have influence over the whole organization because I can speak to these separate systems and make them better. It's a real satisfying feeling. I mean, it's in terms of having a legacy, like you're infusing your best ideas into every aspect of the business, and that's inspiring for a lot of employees. And so, Sam, I totally agree with you in terms of the bottom-up, getting their buy-in by actually having them involved. That's key. My favorite way to prove it is to do what you did, to actually take a real system, document it, and have them see, feel, know, quantify the difference. And then they say, well, you know what? Actually, this is a good thing. Now, I'm working with a series of medical clinics in California right now, and we're systemizing the whole business, and, that's overwhelming for most employees because they're just in their one little area. And I was meeting with the HR team, and we were talking about all the aspects of the HR, and one aspect was orientation. Now, orientation is actually a lot of components to that. And then we drilled down deeper and deeper and deeper, and you might find this, Sam, I know I do, is that everyone's already working hard, everyone's already doing their best, and everyone already thinks that they are doing it the best way. It's amazing that they believe they're doing it the best way. They believe there's really no room for improvement. And so my job is always to, well, is there room? And so what we did is we took a form, one form. It's a form that new hires fill out. The first day at work, they fill out this form. And I said, well, how do you fill out the form? And the lady said, well, we usually have some questions here at the top of the form. Then the new hire has some questions here in the middle. And then we have to go over this section here at the bottom because they don't really understand it. And I said, so really, you and the employee, the new employee, are sitting here for about an hour to fill out this form. And she said, yeah, about an hour. And she said, but it's the best way to do it. And I said, okay, well, let's think about this. How many employees do you do this with a year? In this particular company, it was 100 employees a year. So 100 times you have the new hire and the manager together filling out one form. And so to me, that's mind-boggling. And I said, well, what if we added a few instructions to the form? What if we gave them some examples in the form? What if we maybe had a little video? We didn't do this, but we could have. Had a little video instructing people how to fill out the form as they are given the form. What about some FAQs, frequently asked questions at the bottom of the form? Why don't we make the form a little longer, but we just teach them how to fill out the form as they're filling out the form? Couldn't they do it by themselves? And she said, well, I guess they could. And so what we did is we spent an hour fixing the form, adding a few things, handling some of the common questions they have on the form itself. And I said, well, what do you think this is going to do for you? She said, well, not much. And I said, well, let's quantify it. So an hour of your time, 100 hours a year, because you have 100 employees. Let's just say you're getting $30 an hour. So $30 an hour times 100, that's $3,000. So we just saved $3,000 for the company. You just paid for my visit, right? We spent an hour and you paid for my visit. And the point is, now she actually sees, gosh, I guess there's about 100 other things I'm doing in this department that could also be tweaked, modified, if I just look at the separate pieces and I fix them. And plus, she's busy. She wanted 100 hours to do some other work that she wanted to do, some other projects she wanted to do. And she started to get it, and she said, you know what? We're going to do this. And her team underneath her, she was the manager, decided about it. So I think that was the other aspect. Sam, and you mentioned in your example, is don't just make it theoretical. Make it practical. Show them the results. And once they see the results and they feel it, they're going to buy in. And that's what really makes, this stick. It's not just the theory, but the practicality, the two pieces there. So Sam,
that's right. And that's why it's important to start with something relatively simple like that. And have a success, like you said, Josh, have a success that they can see and say, oh my gosh, I get that. I got 100 other things that I could do the same thing. Well, that's why I work 1 hour a week with my call center, because I do that relentlessly all day long, every day. And we have, I don't know how many people you've coached and consulted to, Josh, but that's where they get, is they get a hold of this, they get this idea to work on separate systems, and their whole life changes, and their bottom line increases. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And just to conclude this podcast, is it's the two pieces. It's the mindset, which you can immediately use in your life and immediately have impact. And then it's the practicality of putting that shift, you know, the systems mindset outside and slightly elevated, seeing the separate systems, and then documenting it. Those two pieces together, they're working hand in hand. You can't have one without the other and have it be successful. And, you know, I've been doing consulting for a long time, and this is the, I would say it's the most sane, most risk-free, easiest, well, I mean not easiest, but simplest way to get your business hyper-efficient, to get it organized, to get it so it can scale, to grow, and to not go crazy while doing it. I mean, as far as I know, everyone that I work with, Sam, it's funny, everyone I work with is, they say, well, we're a little bit too busy to do this. You know, we're just a little bit too stressed. We have a little bit too much going on. And I say, you know, when was it in your business when you weren't like this? And yeah, but always like this, right? That's going to be reality. And do you want to, I mean, do you want that to be reality to the day you die? Or do you want to make this shift and start to take the steps that build a mechanical future that's better?
And I would encourage all of our listeners to do some thinking about it. Do some thinking about how their lives operate, and get the systems mindset so you can work on the systems that compose your life and fix them one at a time. Anyway, thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Sam. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.